Let's move on a little bit now to talking about live, because you're right in the middle of touring, really. We're talking, as I mentioned, at the beginning of June in 2014. You've come back from South America, catching your breath now before dates in Scandinavia, which includes imminently Sweden Rock, a massive gig. Do you ever feel constrained, Bernie, by your classic albums? I should say the band's classic albums, really, such as Demons and Wizards, Look at Yourself. Do you feel almost an obligation to play much of that period of the band's history?
I do feel an obligation, but I don't feel it that it's constrictive at all. I think, if anything, I'm very, very proud of the fact that I'm a member of a band that's got such a strong history, even though I wasn't a part of that lineup. I have the opportunity to do my versions of David Byron's songs, of John Lawton's songs. You know, it's never been a burden. It's been a pleasure.
It must be perhaps difficult for somebody like yourself who's stamped their mark on several albums since you joined the band in the late 80s. I mean, maybe the gig I saw was not typical, but, you know, I felt there could have been more of your period, if you know what I mean.
Well, it depends kind of what kind of tour and where we are in a year, because we do change the set around, because, you know, it keeps us fresh and keeps the set fresh. And sometimes it does turn out that there's a lot more nostalgic songs than newer lineup songs. But it's not to say that it's like that all the time. With every new album that comes out, we usually take a handful of songs to play live. We're just in an fortunate position to have such a back catalog of classic songs that people expect to hear, that we've got to integrate that with the new songs that we're trying to sell for the newest album. And up until next week, it's been Into the Wild. So the last 18 months, we did have a fair amount of tracks from Into the Wild into the set. But in the latter part of the touring, it was probably a little bit more, as you were saying, the classic heap, you know, nostalgic songs, which are still fabulous to play. They still go down a storm, but I don't really want to be tarred with that brush, because you get a little bit of, oh, oldies band, as they say in Germany, and you do the tribute sort of things to the classic lineup. We're not there yet. If we do it, we do it just to please ourselves.
Would you say there's nobody in the band who's particularly driving it one way or the other? You know you've got the core repertoire, but there isn't somebody piping up and saying, you know, don't you think we should be revisiting such and such an album?
No, I mean, it's a very diplomatic band. There's five of us and a manager, and, you know, we all have to see eye to eye, because we're all in it together. And if someone has an idea, it gets brought to the table, you know.
And what about feedback from fans? Do you respond to, you know, forums and blogs and things, you know, people?
Personally, I'm not onto that thing. Blogs and forums and Facebook, that's not my scene. Mick, on the other hand, he is well in touch with the fans, always has been. But he's a founder member, so that's cool for him to do that.
Stepping into some well-worn and respected shoes in terms of the singers, not least, of course, David Byron. I mean, how did you get the gig in the first place?
It all started with Mick coming down and hearing me singing with Praying Mantis, which at the time was called Stratus. And we weren't doing too much. We couldn't get a record deal. So the original Praying Mantis got together and did a farewell show at the Marquee down on Wardour Street back in the day. And our front of house engineer, Howard Menzies, unbeknownst to us, was actually the front of house mixer for Uriah Heep. So when he found out that we were going to be doing the show, he got on to Mick, who was looking for a singer, and said, come on down and check this guy out, you know, because he's definitely got the range for Heap songs, and he's going to be available. So Mick poodled down and you know, stuck in the back of the Marquee Hall and waited and approached the band at the very end of the show, and you're knocking on the dressing room door and came in and basically said, you know, I've got this opportunity come up and I'd like to get you on board. So we both went back down to my apartment in London and sat up most of the night drinking vintage Armagnac. And by dawn, we were both very, very drunk, and gave me a big hug and said, I think I've got a new singer for my band. And that was 27 and a half years ago.
Uh-huh. Does it only feel like yesterday for you, Bernie, or not really?
Well, I look in the mirror, and it is definitely not yesterday. But inside, absolutely,
yes.
I don't know where the time has gone. You know, we're in such an enviable position. Musicians that are lucky enough to have, you know, a reputation and sold, you know, copious amounts of records, we're in a really strong area. And you can abuse the fact because there's so many perks out there that you can take and then maybe you shouldn't take. And to survive this day and age as a rock and roll musician professional, you got to say no to some of the naughty stuff that's out there and be a little bit more sensible.